podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. Welcome to Book Hype. I'm Jen, and tonight I'm joined by two very special guests. We have authors Monica Murphy and Rachel Harris with us. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, so I'm very excited to have you guys on because you guys write all kinds of books. First of all, you guys have like books coming out like every couple of months because I looked at your book list. You guys are insane. How do you write so much in such little short periods, or what looks like little short periods of time?
Go ahead. You answer first.
Okay. I'm fairly prolific. I would consider myself a fast writer. And I don't know. I mean, I work like a dog.
Fair enough.
I stay up too late and I get up too early. I'm in real deadline mode right now too. So I'm catching up from traveling and then having to get all these deadlines finished. So I'm very much in the stay up late mode, but I'm lucky that I can write fairly fast. And I also have a very supportive husband who helps me so my kids aren't coming to me every 5 minutes, which is huge because they are a distraction. A lovable distraction, but a distraction.
Awesome. Go ahead, Rachel.
Well, I'm a homeschool mom, so it's kind of always kind of crazy around here. We do our schoolwork, and then I give my girls lots of books to read so they can give mommy some time. But mostly my husband lets me do, like, I take a hotel to myself for the weekend where I don't say anything. No one talks to me for like 48, 72 hours. And just amazing quiet. And I get a lot done then. And during the summer is actually when I write the most because that's when they have like church camps and VBS and all that. And so I enrolled my kids there and I write at Panera all day long. And I'm like, wow, this is what quiet feels like. This is awesome. But I also write pretty fast, especially category romance. So
that is amazing.
I'm the opposite of Rachel, I just have to say, because summer is the worst. My kids are home.
Yeah, I know. That's what I always hear. I'm like, I love summer.
No, I'm the opposite. Anyway.
That's really interesting. It must be crazy to homeschool your kids and try to write novels and stuff. So I'm glad you have a system because that, I think I would go crazy because I teach. So I know what it's like to try to teach students all day. I can't imagine trying to write on top of teaching all day. That would be crazy. So how did you guys get started in writing? Was this always your lifelong dream, or is it just something that as you get older, you kind of was like, oh, I have this story. I think, you know, it's finally time to put it onto paper.
I've always written in different ways, but I never really thought, like, to me, I thought authors were those people who were very stuffy and lived in New York and drank coffee, because I don't like coffee. I know it's crazy. but I just never thought that could be me. So I just kind of wrote fun things. I used to write New Kids on the Block fan fiction, and then I wrote Guiding Light fan fiction in college, and that was just all fun. But then when I decided to, I read Twilight, actually, is what did it for me. And I was like, wow, I remember that reading can be fun. And because I was homeschooling then, and I was trying to read all the classics that I had actually skipped when I was younger because I didn't want to read them. I read the Cliff Notes and read romance novels instead. So I was reading all these things, and I love the classics, but they're not exactly fun all the time. And reading Twilight reminded me that, yeah, I love this. And I love doing everything for my kids, and I love homeschooling, but for a while, my life was all about them. And writing gives me something that's just for me, a little outlet. So I decided just to give it a shot, and I did it.
That's awesome. Okay.
Yeah, I always been a big reader, and I found a bag of books that my mom had in a hall closet in our house that were all romances, and I had read some teen romances before that, but they were mostly, you know, pretty fluff. And so I remember first one I really read was The Flame and the Flower, and I was like, whoa. And then I read a lot of historical from, like, you know, Jude Devereaux, Julie Garwood. And I remember thinking, I want to do this someday. I want to write a book. And then, you know, life got in the way and you get married, you work a job, you have babies, and I was finally able to stay at home with my two youngest children, and in 05, I decided, you know what, I'm going to give that a shot again, because like Rachel said, you become such a, you're such a mom, and it's all about the kids, that you need something that's just for you and an outlet, and writing became that for me, and then I was first published in 06, so...
Right, that's awesome. And when you first published, you actually published under a different name.
Yes, I did. I also write as Karen Erickson. And I write now as Karen, mostly contemporary romance. Mm-hmm. So
why did you choose a pen name?
Well, this is always a funny story.
Yeah.
I had been writing as Karen for a long time. I have what I feel is a decent fan base. I was doing well. But then... in the fall of 2012, I started reading all of these self-published books, and I read a lot of new adults, and I was totally hooked, and I'm like, I want to write one of those. But I knew as I started writing, I got my idea, I started writing it, and I'm like, this is nothing like what I write as Karen. And so I decided to self-publish as Monica Murphy, and I figured if it failed, nobody would know. So I didn't tell hardly anybody when I
remember the email I got from you.
Yeah. I told, you know, eventually I started to tell people, and I mean, I had friends who said, oh, I bought that book. And I had people who have known me and read me for years, and they're like, it didn't sound like you at all. And so that's why I kind of knew that if I tried to self-publish it as Karen, that I don't think that my regular Karen readers would have accepted it readily, you know?
Right.
So, and then I thought, well, if it fails, no one will know. And instead, Monica did way better than Karen, and Karen got real jealous. But, you know, it's all worked out well. So, yes, that's why I chose a pen name story.
Well, that's a great reason. I can understand wanting to kind of, when you switch it up, to kind of put something different out there with a different name. So you self-published as Monica Murphy as compared to, were you traditionally published as Karen Erickson?
I am digitally published as Karen Erickson. I've been with a lot of digital publishers, and I am currently still writing for Entangled and with Sam Hain. I've been with Sam Hain since 07.
Yeah.
And that's where the biggest amount of my books, my backlist is with Sam Hain.
So did you find a huge difference in the self-publishing process compared to the digitally published process, or was it similar?
Well, you know, it was pretty similar regarding in promotion, but I feel like with the self-published and the type of book that I wrote, I feel like I straddled two lines. They, in the romance industry now, they consider the digital publishers more of a traditional route, and then there's the self-published way,
right.
And the readers are even different. I feel like that a lot of the readers came from their love for 50 Shades and then went on and glommed onto a lot of the self-published stuff, just from what I've seen over the past couple of years since I've done this. And of course, doing self-published, more control, you hire your own editors, cover artists, all that, you know that. But it's really not that different. But there are some differences. You do have, I feel like you have different readership. But I have some cross too.
No, I can definitely see that. And Rachel, are you just traditionally published across the board?
Yes, but after talking to Karen actually this weekend, I'm going to try to do some self-publishing. I have a couple of projects, and I'm going to be emailing her like crazy. I plan to do that next year.
Yay!
Excellent. I know a ton of people that self-publish, and it's always been, you know, fairly good for them. And they get all kinds of readers from all over, so it's fantastic. So you guys both have new books out recently. One's just coming out, one has just come out. And you guys write basically across all genres. You write YA, New A, and adult fiction. So have there been challenges in writing the three separate genres that are kind of, I mean, the New A kind of sits in the middle of the adult and the young adult, and it's kind of has this shape that fits into both categories, but it's its own category, if you will. So have you guys found challenges in writing across the three, or something that's maybe difficult or not difficult and super fun to do as you're writing all three different styles?
I don't know about Rachel, but I'm going to guess that she might feel this way. I get bored. I went through a stage as Karen where I wrote almost all erotic romance. And after a while, I got bored with it. And so I turned around and wrote something that was really sweet and practically closed the door on the bedroom scenes. And so I like to jump around because I feel like it keeps me engaged. I don't get bored as easily with writing what I'm writing. So I like the change.
Okay.
I like to mix things up. I will say that for a while there, I had really quick deadlines, and it was like I went from adult to my young adult to my adult to my young adult. Like, so I was switching back and forth. And with my YAs, I write first person, present tense, and my adults, I write third person, past tense. And so for a while, it would take me a little bit to like, okay, what am I doing? And I'd start writing in the wrong tense or the wrong voice. And then also in the middle of that, then you're getting edits for the previous book, so you're having to like, okay, wait, I'm a teen again, okay, now I'm adult, now what am I, you know? So that is the challenging part for me. So like, sometimes I love the challenge, other times like, why do I do this to myself? But it's fun.
No, I have the same problem as Monica. I write first person present tense. As Karen, it's third person past tense. And so, like Rachel said, if you're writing in one and you get edits for the other, or I don't know, sometimes I get really tired, I'll find myself switching to another tense as I'm writing. And I'll go back and be like, whoops.
You're like, oh, gotta fix all that now. Yeah, I can see how that would be super challenging. Do you ever find, because the majority of your books have romantic elements to them, do you ever find you're writing a scene and you're like, oh no, wait, this is YA, this is not going the direction it should be, this has gone a little past where it should go, or anything like that? Does that ever crop up when you're writing, because you're just in the mode of writing?
Yes.
Yes, I will say my last young adult that just came out earlier this year was definitely a lot more, it was different from the first two in the series, a lot more romantic, and I think it, you know, much more focused on that and a little bit more steamier in parts, and it was just because I'm just so in the adult mode around that time, so it's like, yeah, I think it definitely took an interesting turn, but it seems to go well, I think.
Excellent. Yeah, everyone loves a good kissing scene, so I'm sure it was fine. Given the topic of this week's book hype being romance and love and all that fun stuff, we are going to suggest Outlander as an audiobook for you to download from Audible. This is a great story, and this weekend is the premiere of Outlander on Stars, so I definitely suggest checking out Outlander. And for a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. So can you guys tell us about your new books? So Monica, you just released, or it's releasing really soon, His Reverie?
Yeah, it came out Monday.
Okay.
I self-published it. I wanted to go back and have a self-published project because it's fun to create something that you know, nobody else touches it but the ones that I hire.
Right, exactly.
And it's a YA, but I call it more of a mature YA, and I think it would appeal to my new adult readers because it's basically a love story. My heroine is the daughter of a televangelist, and my hero is, he has come to work for her family for the summer, and of course they fall in love. They have a bit of the forbidden love storyline to it, and it's mostly in my hero Nick's point of view. I have always wanted to write a book that would be mostly in the male point of view, and so I did it with this book. And she appears, of course, in scenes with him and then in diary entries.
Oh, cool. I like that.
Yeah.
What were the challenges? I did a little different. Oh. What were the challenges of writing from a male perspective for the majority of the novel? Were there any?
I'm sorry. You know, I really love writing in the male point of view, and sometimes I almost prefer it. Like, I can get into his head a lot of the time easier than hers, and I don't know why. Maybe I'm secretly a man trapped inside my own body. I don't know. But it wasn't so much of a challenge. She was more of a challenge. I really felt like I knew him, and especially near the end of the book. And so I'll go ahead and admit right now, this book ends in a cliffhanger. There will be a second book that's coming out August 25th called Her Destiny, and that one is more in her point of view. And it was hard at first to really get into her because I felt like I knew him so much more, and I'm like, oh, I just wish I was in his instead. But I do love her, but it wasn't so much of a challenge, though. Of course, you have to remember to think like a guy.
Yeah, that can be tricky sometimes.
And it can be tricky, yes. They think differently.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
All right, and Rachel, you have a book coming out in a couple weeks, or just came out?
Yeah, I had an adult that came out, I think, 3 weeks ago, or maybe 2 weeks ago, Accidentally Married on Purpose.
Okay.
That was in my adult line, and it is a wake up in Vegas, married, and oopsident. That's my new favorite word, by the way, oopsident.
I like it.
It was by far my favorite thing I've ever written. Like, you know how you think you're funny, but you're not sure if anyone else gets your humor? Mm-hmm. I just let my humor go, and I was smiling and laughing the whole time, and I'm like, this is either the best thing I've ever written, or it's going to make no sense to anyone. But it seems like everyone's really getting it, which is always, you know, so much better. But I had a lot of fun. He's a country music superstar, and I love country music, so I had a lot of fun with that as well. Mistaken Identity and things like that.
I love title.
Yes, it's super fun. That title's great.
I keep always wanting to sing the Shrek song, Accidentally in Love, yeah. And every time I hear it.
Yeah.
And apparently I've always spelled accidentally wrong my entire life, so I just learned how to spell it because it's title.
Bonus. I like it.
And then I do have a young adult coming out in September called The Fine Art of Pretending, which is about a cute and funny friend who wants to be the tempting vixen in her attempt to try to do that.
How do you guys come up with your storylines? Because you have storylines that are all over the place. I mean, and it's fantastic because you clearly have fantastic imaginations, but how do you decide, oh, I had this idea, I'm now going to make it into a story, or this will work, and how does that work for you? What's the process around creating, you know, getting an idea and then creating it into a story?
Karen, why don't you take this one first, because you've written so many more than I have.
I will do so. For instance, with His Reverie, because I've been asked a lot lately, since right now I'm in the middle of blog tour and talking about the book, what inspired Reverie's character is that I was watching a show on the 80s, it was a documentary, and they were talking about Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, and okay. They are the, yeah. Fallen televangelists from the 80s, and they spoke to their adult son, and all I could think was, what must it have been like to be a kid dealing with all that? And so, I don't know, I just kind of ran with it. I feel like I'm inspired by, people can tell me a story about their personal life, I get a lot of things from magazines, and I'll even on to ideas. I have a new series coming out in December that's through my publisher Bantam as Monica, and that series idea actually came from an idea I had originally in 07, but it was going to be a paranormal. This is not anything close to a paranormal.
Yeah.
But it's funny how you can get seeds from an idea. Like, the idea for the new series is I always wanted to write a book about sisters who all had names that were flowers. I don't know why, but that was just something that struck me one day, and that's exactly what I've done. All of the sisters, there's Violet, Rose, and Lily, and so yeah, it's weird.
It just comes from random places.
You never know what it's gonna strike.
Yeah.
Never know.
Yeah, I'd say you never know. Let's see, The Fine Art of Pretending is actually the first book I ever wrote right when I had that Twilight fever. It just kind of hung around for a little bit. But that's based on something that happened in my actual life. I remember, like, a guy told me, you know, hey, yeah, we sat down one day and we made a list of, you know, which girls are the ones you would date and which ones, you know, deserve a relationship and all that, and which ones are the ones that you can just go and have fun with. And to me, in my head, that meant that those were the hot ones and the fun ones, and I wanted to be in that group in my messed up teenage head. Like, I was like, oh, I don't want to be a commitment. And so I kind of, and I've always had a journey of wanting to be comfortable in my own skin and self-esteem issues, so I wanted to incorporate all that into this book and, again, go with the funny humor and all that, and that was a lot of fun. Accidentally Married on Purpose is definitely based on my crazy fascination I have with New Kids on the Block, and how when I was 8 years old, I swore that Jordan Knight was going to break down in front of my house, his big old tour bus. Why he'd be in my neighborhood, I don't know. But he would come off the bus, and he would see me in my 8-year-old, you know, self with a purple one piece and fall madly in love with me. And that never happened. But I thought it would be fun to have, to explore what it's like to have that celebrity actually see you and fall in love with you and what all that would be entailed. But I get stuff from movies all the time, random newspaper clippings. But I think my most random is from Karate Kid 2, when Mr. Miyagi's character, you know, who plays Mr. Miyagi in that one? The not Karate Kid 2, the next Karate Kid with the Will Smith son.
Oh, Jackie Chan.
Yes, and so he takes the car in his living room, and he destroys it all. He fixes it up all year to destroy it on the anniversary of the death of his wife and child. And I was like, wow, what would that be like to have something that you see every single day of your life and be destroying it and putting it back together and all the time? And that, I thought that was a very good symbol. So I've got a couple of stories that I've been working around with that. That image just right there. I mean, that's the most random example I could have. But Karate Kid inspired a book.
Yeah, I love it.
That is so cool how just the littlest things can, like, craft an entire story for you guys. That's amazing. Must be a very interesting place to live in your heads.
It's probably really scary.
It's a scary place.
Yeah. Secretly, it's kind of frightening, but... All right, so your characters, and a lot of your books, you guys have some bad boys. Whether they're bad and redeemable, just bad, whatever, or mistakenly bad, because that happens a lot too. How do you guys come up with those traits? Because ladies do love a good bad boy. So how do you kind of craft those lovely characters?
Oh, boy.
I know. Bad boy questions.
Rachel's quiet. Joke. She's like, you can take this. You know, I just try to... Haven't we all read these books, or you've seen movies or watched TV shows, and the guy is hot, he's a bad boy, but you know in real life that you would never be able to tolerate him? Because I really feel that way about a lot of the alphas I read and see on TV, movies, whatever. I'm just like, you know, yeah, he's hot, but if I really had to deal with him day in and day out, I just couldn't even take it. I think... especially lately, and I do call it if we're going to call it the 50 Shades trait, it also has to come from the Twilight, because that's where 50 Shades came from.
Exactly.
But I really think that if you can craft a hero who will do whatever it takes to have his heroine, his woman, no matter what, he will do whatever. And then give him some of those bad boy traits, because she has to know, oh, he's no good for me, but I want him anyway. So I kind of take that angle, you know, that he'll do whatever, but then he also knows he's no good for her. That's what he'll say. I'm not good for you. I'm not good enough for you. You always see that. And but then they still, of course, end up falling in love. I think I just really like to give them bossy, possessive ways, but then deep inside, they're also total suckers for their women.
Yeah.
Like, they would do anything.
They may be bossy and protective, but they have to have a reason for it. It's not just who they are.
Exactly.
Excellent.
Finding that gooey center is always very important, you know.
Yeah, because otherwise they're not kind of redeemable. Do you know, I feel like they have to have some element of this is why in order to make them likable.
And I like the fact that he would be nice just because of you. Like, you can save him. And we all want to have that dream.
Oh, the rescue.
My love will save him.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's what makes readers fall in love with the hero, because they become the heroine and they think, oh, well, if I just love him just right, he's going to be just for me, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that does happen. I also like to try and take someone who you would think would be impossible to redeem and hopefully redeem him. I am gearing up to dive back into a book like that. My hero is a thief. He steals. Ooh. He's not nice.
He's not a Robin Hood kind of thief, though, huh?
Of course. Oh, and he's hot, you know.
Excellent.
Of course, right? And he's going to be totally head over heels for this woman, but that is not easy to do. I like that challenge, and I'm nervous about diving back into that and making that work, but we shall see.
Excellent. All right. Rachel, do you have anything to add to that, or we didn't cut you off or anything?
No, not really. I mean, like, I'd write the bad boys, but then I also have a lot of the beta type of heroes to the everyday good guys too. So mostly whenever has the bad qualities, I always try to look for, you know, that extra little thing that either has a weakness for his sisters or a dog or, you know, something very, you know, cute in the beginning that you can kind of like see those little hints throughout. And then also I cast my characters and find someone who's been like a bad boy, but also kind of really cute. And I watch both of them so I can put that into the character and himself. But
I love that. So you cast them as like characters from TV or like actors? What do you mean you cast them?
Yeah, mostly from TV or movies, because I love being able to watch little clips here and there and seeing if I can, especially even in their interviews, because then they're just like talking completely to, you know, to the camera, and I can pick up little like, oh, that's a good catchphrase, or you know, because you write so many guys, after a while you're like, you don't want them to sound, you want them to sound unique. So that's how I get little unique things sometimes.
That's so much fun. So do you have like certain guys that you've seemed to have been like, you've cast a lot as your different characters, or are they always different? Do you have like a go-to?
I cast different ones all the time. Okay. But like normally they come from all over the place, but my current book, which is actually the follow-up to The Fine Art of Pretending, I pretty much just watched a lot of Teen Wolf, and all of those people are in different roles, so I was like, okay, I'll just watch the seasons back to back to back.
That's
your excuse for watching Teen Wolf, isn't it?
Exactly. I love my excuses.
I've got that too, actually, now that you say that, Rachel. I remember watching a scene from The Vampire Diaries, and I pretty much wrote it, not word for word, but just what they were doing, how he was touching her, how he was looking at her, and vice versa, into a book. So sometimes you can just be inspired by that, and it's not like you're copying, but it helps to have that visual sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're just putting words on a page, which is fantastic, but at the same time, you have to have like the idea that it's going to function and work as you're writing it, like
exactly.
Touching and stuff. Yeah, no, totally get it. That's really awesome. Love it. Okay, so now you write romance books. Most of them have some elements of kind of like sexy times and things in them. So is that easy to write? Is it hard to write? Like, not being an author, I'm always fascinated, because I read lots of romance books too sometimes, and I'm always fascinated how people come up with like these ideas. I'm like, where on earth? How did you think of that? Like, just kind of that sort of thing. Is that easy to do or no?
Okay, I'm going to be honest and say that it's super easy for me to write. I've always liked the sexy times. And when I said I'm going to be honest, I had a review years ago where, back in my erotic times as Karen Erickson, and I wrote a book, and the woman that reviewed it on Amazon gave me 1 star and said I almost turned her off of erotic romance forever because of what I did in the in the book. And I thought, wow, I'm powerful. So, look at me making her quit reading forever. But I have had many a review where they will trash the story, but then they end it with, but the sex was good. So I guess that's my claim to fame. But the sex was good.
Excellent.
So I don't really find it hard. What becomes hard is if it starts to feel familiar. You know, you want to give it a different taste every time, because these are different people.
Right.
And in your different books. And then there's different levels of heat. And then there's also the different sexual contact that they have as the book continues on. When the story first starts, you know, maybe the first time that they kiss or even have sex, it's different. And then as you go deeper into the book, the emotion becomes deeper and the act becomes more meaningful. So you have to remember that. And sometimes that can be hard, because you want to make sure and give the readers and the characters the sex scenes that they deserve. That's how I always feel. Yeah. They need to have the scene that they deserve, but you also want to make sure that it doesn't feel repetitive. And I always want to make sure that it's emotional enough too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have a hard time ever writing them.
Okay.
That to me probably sounds like a pervert. That's okay.
Nope.
As for me, so far my adults have been, it's for the sweeter line, so we have to fade to black at a certain point. I push that as far as I can in my favorite reviews. Like, I've got all the people who are like, man, you know, I didn't know this was a fade to black thing, but, you know, with her, you don't even miss the scene. Like, that's when you know it's good. And so I'm glad. I definitely know that sexual tension and kisses and all that stuff, it comes very easy to me. The actual, like, you know, penetration or whatever. You know, I haven't written that yet, but I have that coming up soon in a book, and I'm definitely nervous about it just because it's going to be my first time completely doing it. But the rest of it hasn't ever been a problem, so I'm hoping it's going to be just
You'll
as easy.
You'll be fine, Rachel. Yes. You'll be fine.
I'll just be continue just emailing you like,
this is sexy.
Like, Rachel's gonna harass me now, I can tell. That's okay, harass me.
That'll be super. Excellent. Okay, so now we're just gonna switch over and talk some pop culture stuff, because I can tell you guys are fans of pop culture, especially New Kids on the Block, which I love. Sorry, I'm thank you, that's the best, because I'm from, like, New England, so, like, when I was growing up, New Kids on the Block were, like, the thing, so I totally understand your fascination.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so... quickly, do you guys have a favorite TV show right now? Is there something when you have, you know, some downtime and you get to watch TV?
Yeah. My favorite show right now is The Goldbergs.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh. That is like my life. I'm a child of the 80s. I'm an old lady. And I watched that and I was just like, oh, my God, that's like my mom. Or I remember a kid like that in school. I just love that show. And I love that it's about the 80s, but they're not too specific. So then they can throw in every 80s reference and you don't get offended by, oh, wait, that really happened in 83 and they're showing it in 89, or, you know. So I don't know. And it's funny. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
So I would say that that's my favorite show right now. I've been catching up on it. I had missed the first season. So the summer reruns have been real good to me.
Yes. Gotta love it.
I watch a lot of reality TV, especially with my kids. So, like, we watch all, like, the MasterChef and the Next Food Network Star and all that. We actually watched last night Running Wild with Bear Gillis. And I always thought Zac Efron was kind of cute, but, like, okay, he's young because I remember when he was really young. Oh, my gosh, he just totally won a fan in me. I watched his thing last night on DVR. It comes on again, I guess, in a week. It is hilarious. These people are running in the wild, and they're eating worms and looking at their death against a cliff, and it was crazy, but I like that stuff. I'm a big coward. I would never actually do it, but it's fun to watch.
Awesome.
I'm also a reality TV junkie. I cannot lie about that either.
Yeah, what's your favorite reality show?
I watch a lot of Bravo.
Oh, yes. Bravo's a little addicting. You can't help it. Like, it's on, and then it's just you're sucked into the day.
Sucks you right in. I've always had a thing for The Real Housewives. The OC, I started with them from the first season. And even though they all drive me crazy, it's like I can't quit them. So it's like they know. It's like they point and laugh. And I'm sitting there going, I can't stand this show. Why am I watching it? I love it.
So it's kind of like me with Bachelorette and Bachelor.
Oh, yeah. You kind of get sucked in and you're like, oh, man, where did the day go?
Right? Yeah. So
it happens all the time.
Yes.
All right. So do you guys have a favorite character either from books or TV that you absolutely love and maybe wish you had created yourself?
Adam and Mia from Gail Forman's If I Stay and Where She Went. Mm-hmm. I read, you know, historicals and adult and YA and new adult and all that stuff, but no matter what the list is, those two books are on my top five list of all time. Like, I just love those characters. So every time the trailer comes on, I make my whole entire house be quiet so I can watch it. I'm so excited about this movie.
A couple weeks and it'll be awesome.
I can't even believe that I haven't read those books yet. I'm dying to see the movie, so I need to get those in and read them, because shame on me for not reading them. They're movie awesome. Looks amazing. Yeah. Oh, no. They look awesome. They sound awesome. My favorite character, I wish I would have wrote this guy, is Jill. I love Jill Shalvis. I always say when I grow up, I want to be Jill Shalvis. Mm-hmm. And she wrote a series for Kensington, and it was the Wilder brothers. And Cameron Wilder from Instant Attraction.
Yes. I love those books.
I mean, that is a book that if I'm like, none of this none of this I want to read. I hate all these books. I think I'll go read Cameron Wilder. And I'll go and I'll read him again and again. I just love that book. And I remember I would go to conferences and I would tell Jill all the time, I love your books. And then finally I'm like, I need to stop. She just thinks I'm a stalker. But I mention her constantly. I feel like I'm her biggest fangirl.
But I know I'm not alone.
A lot of people love Jill.
Yeah, her stuff is so good. I love her Ludwig Harbour series.
It's a great series.
Oh, it's so much fun. Love it. Excellent. So here comes another question. And Rachel, you may have already just answered it with your last answer, but we'll see if you have maybe a different one. So what one book do you wish you had when you were a teen? So when you were a teen, what one book that, like, because, like, YA and all of the stuff that's out there now is amazing. Is there something you're like, God, if I just had that when I was a teen, it might have made a huge difference, or my reading habits would be different, or anything like that?
50 Shades. No, I'm kidding. That's a joke.
I love it.
That was a total joke. I need to think on that. Rachel, do you have an answer?
I know. I have to think. I think Sarah Dessen. I'm looking at my shelf, by the way. I read a lot of romance novels. Like, I kind of read those, snuck read them when I was in third grade on, but definitely when I was in high school. But I wish I had, like, Sarah Dessen as all of her books when I was younger, if I had those things. I think that would have been really good. She captures the teen experience very well, I think. So anything by Sarah Dessen.
Excellent. She's good. I like her. You know, I'm a huge, huge, another fangirl person I am over is Katie McGarry.
Yes.
She writes the best YA ever, and I have fangirled all over her. In fact, I was so bold. I had already pre-ordered her latest book, and I DM'd her editor on Twitter because we follow each other, and I said, I'm just going to be bold and say, can you send me that book early, even though I already have it on pre-order and I'm going to buy it? I'm dying. And so she sent it to me.
That's fantastic.
I did. I was just like, and you can tell me no if you want, but I just, she really, I think if I was a teen, I would have loved her books so much. I mean, I love them now. They make me feel, you know, that young first love. So she's amazing.
I have another one, The Summer I Turned Pretty by
Jenny Han.
Jenny Han, I would love that. That would have been a great one.
Have you read the Burn for Burn
with Jenny Han? And I'm sorry, I forget who the other author is.
Siobhan.
Yes.
Yes.
No, I haven't.
Oh, Rachel, read them. Books are amazing.
They're super good. We review them a lot on Hypeball. They're fantastic.
Yeah, Jenny Han is great.
Yes.
All kinds of good stuff. Excellent. So, do you guys have a favorite kissing scene that you've ever written? Like, can you think of one kissing scene where you're like, yes, that was, like, it. It was amazing.
I would have to say for me, it was from One Week Girlfriend, because all my readers went nuts over the scene.
Excellent. And good
it was,
sign.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was my characters, Drew and Fable, and they were... they had gone out to lunch, and it started to rain as they walked back to the car, and they tried to hide out in the rain, and it was in this little archway. And it's a real place that I've been to, because the book is set partially in Carmel, California. And so I actually have pictures of that little archway, and it's just as cool as you would think a little archway would be. And so, I don't know, there's rain, there's kissing. You kind of can't.
Kissing in the rain is kind of like hands down the best. I mean, come on.
Yeah, so the readers really love that scene, so I figure that's probably I nailed it right there.
Yeah.
I hope. Okay.
It's funny. I was going to say a scene that where they were in the rain, and then I realized they were just dancing in the rain. They didn't kiss. So I was like, oh, I can't say that. But so I guess actual kissing scene would probably be in The Dancing in the Rain, by the way, was accidentally married on purpose. But in my not-so-super sweet life, I love Princess Diaries, the movie where they're playing, like, with the balloon paint. And so I have a scene where the couple is doing that. They're both artists, and they've been throwing all these paintballs at a canvas and exploding color everywhere. And they've got, like, these rain jackets on to cover themselves, and then they get silly with each other, and they smash balloons over their heads, and then, you know, so there's paint dripping down their heads, and then he grabs her up and kisses her, and, you know, it's just all that excitement and fun, and it just seems very sexy to me. I like it.
Excellent. So what do you guys need to function as writers? Do you need coffee? Do you need quiet? What are the things? Cupcakes? You know, all the essentials, obviously. So what is it as a writer that you need to function?
Diet Mountain Dew.
Diet Coke. I always joke, cut me open, I bleed brown.
Nice.
Coffee in the morning so I can actually function. You know, I don't need quiet, and I'm sure Rachel doesn't either, really, because when you have your kids around all the time and other family members, I mean, you kind of learn how to write in the chaos. I prefer quiet. It's quiet right now. No one is in my house but the dog. They're all gone, and it's kind of nice.
When it is quiet, normally, like, I think probably my ideal situation is, like, you know, where you go to Panera or something like that, where there's lots of noise around you, but it's never at you. No one's talking to you. You don't have to answer anyone. You know, it's just kind of low and in the background. So, because if it's total quiet, I get kind of nervous, because when it's quiet in my house, it means someone's doing something wrong.
You're like, it's suspicious, it's not okay.
Yeah. So that little bit of noise makes me comfortable, but, I also, underneath my computer, I've got, like, those heavy-duty things. When I used to live in North Carolina, and so we go to NASCAR races, and you have those headphones that you put over your ears. So it doesn't.
Yeah,
I have those, too, just in case it gets really crazy here.
Excellent. Okay, so do you have a favorite 90s TV show? I know it's a random question. Just go with it.
Say by the bell.
Not out of town. Melrose Place.
Nice. I can see Melrose Place definitely fitting in. I like it. And Saved by the Bell. I like that.
Yes.
Too. Very fun. Got it. Okay. So I have basically three fill-in-the-blank questions, and then we'll pretty much be done. So are you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right. So if I weren't a writer, I would be?
Stay-at-home mom.
Yeah. Homeschool mom. Or, what I am.
If I could have one supernatural power, it would be?
Ooh, I don't want to fly.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
To freeze time, because I'm always, like, I always come up with great one-liners or something, like, 5 minutes too late. So if I can just freeze it and figure it out now, then I'll always sound witty and smart.
I love it.
Good answer.
All right, and the last one is, my Hollywood crush is?
Ooh, Chris Hemsworth.
Good call.
Right now, I'm like all about Zac Efron after that episode. Well, I swear to God. And he took off his shirt, and he was cute. And
anytime he takes off his shirt is a good time. Let's be real.
Yes.
I was just at Comic-Con, and Chris Hemsworth, I sat in on the panel with Chris Hemsworth. That man is gigantic in real life. Like, he legitimately is Thor. Like, his biceps are massive. I'm like...
And then he makes you feel dainty in comparison, and that's always good.
Yeah, I mean, like, he...
Right after when his wife had their first baby, mm-hmm. he was always walking around with that little baby in his giant arms.
I know.
And it would kill me. It was like crack. It was like... little baby, big man. Oh, my God, melt my heart.
I know, it's insane. You're like... They didn't have to do that. They clearly have enough money to have nannies, etc. But no, he always had, you're right. There were always pictures of him and the baby. It was amazing.
Yeah. It's like he knew it.
Yeah.
It's like he knew. Watch this, ladies. I'm going to bring out the baby.
That's excellent.
Ovaries exploding.
Exactly.
Kaboom. It's over.
It was perfect. All right. Well, thank you, ladies, so much for coming on and talking with us. I really appreciate it. And so we will be on the lookout for His Reverie and Accidentally Married on Purpose, which are both out now and people will check out. And we'll be looking forward to your future novels as well.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. And until next time, bye.
Bye, y'all.